Chapter 4. Franz and Albert went to visit the Colosseum in Rome. They hadn't seen any sign of Luigi Vampa in the city. They were starting to think that the hotel owner had made him up. The two boys walked around the Colosseum and became separated. As he walked, Franz came across two men talking. One of them was the Count of Monte Cristo, who was staying in the same hotel as Albert and Franz. Franz hid in the shadows and listened. "Count, there is trouble. A shepherd boy called Peppino has been arrested." "What has he been arrested for, Vampa?" the Count asked. Franz's eyes widened as he realized that it was Luigi Vampa who was talking to the Count of Monte Cristo. "He is accused of being an accomplice to bandits. All he did was give us food. He is going to have his head cut off in 2 days," Vampa explained. "I will buy his freedom," the Count replied. "You have my everlasting loyalty in return," Vampa said. Franz left before either of the men saw him. When he found Albert, he didn't tell his friend what he had overheard, and the two went back to the hotel. The next night, Albert and Franz went to the opera. The Count of Monte Cristo was there again. His skin was very pale, and he was with the most beautiful woman that Franz had ever seen. He found out her name was Heidi. Albert and Franz had brought Countess G with them to the opera. When she saw the Count of Monte Cristo, she was terrified. "His skin is so pale. He must be a vampire," she declared. The next day, the hotel owner told Franz and Albert that the Count of Monte Cristo had offered to lend them his coach so that the two boys could go to the carnival. "He is a very generous man," the hotel owner said. "Which room is he in? We must go and thank him," Franz said. The hotel owner told the boys where the Count's room was, and they went to pay him a visit. When Franz was shown into the room of the Count, he had a terrible shock. "But you are not a Count. You are Sinbad the sailor," Franz cried. "I am both. It is nice to see you again," Edmund said. Franz introduced Albert to Edmund, and Edmund asked the pair to join him for breakfast. "Before we eat, come to the windows. There are executions this morning. I find them very interesting," Edmund said. The three men started to talk about human justice and where it leads to problems for men. As the execution started, Peppino was brought out first. He was given a pardon and allowed to go free. Franz looked at Edmund to judge his reaction, but he saw nothing unusual in his face. The next man was brought out, and his head was cut off. After they had eaten breakfast, Franz and Albert left Edmund. When they were back in their room, Franz said, "He is a strange man. He seems to enjoy watching vengeance play out. He was very happy when the second man was executed, but he didn't seem happy at all when the first man was freed." The carnival began that evening. It lasted for 3 days, and the two boys borrowed the Count's carriage for all 3 days. During the carnival, Albert flirted with a beautiful woman. He wanted to have several love affairs while he was in Rome, so he chased the woman. The woman was called Teresa, the same Teresa who belonged to Luigi Vampa. The flirting was all part of a trap that Albert fell into. Franz waited back at the hotel for Albert to come back. Instead, Peppino brought him a ransom note. Franz didn't have money to pay the ransom, so he went to see the Count of Monte Cristo. Edmund agreed to help Albert, so Peppino led the two men to where Albert was being held by Vampa in the catacombs of Saint Sebastian. "My friend, what a surprise," Vampa said when he saw the Count. "I am afraid that I am here for my friend who you have kidnapped," Edmund said. "This young boy is a friend of yours?" Vampa asked. "He is," Edmund smiled. "Then we will let him go at once. I was looking forward to the money or killing him. But if he is a friend of yours, then please accept my humble apologies and his freedom," Vampa said. The Count and Vampa spoke for a few more minutes, and then Edmund led Franz and Albert back to the hotel. Albert had not suffered while he was a prisoner, but he also didn't seem to understand how close to dying he had come. "Thank you for saving me, Count," Albert said. "It was my pleasure," Edmund replied. "I must repay you for your kindness," Albert replied. "I will be in Paris in 3 months. You can introduce me to society there," Edmund replied. "Of course," Albert cried with delight. He shook hands with the Count. Franz watched the Count warily. He saw how Edmund shuddered when Albert shook his hand. When the Count had gone, Franz told Albert about the conversation he had overheard in the Colosseum. "Then he is an even better man than I knew," Albert cried. Franz had wanted to put Albert on his guard, but all he had done was make Albert like the Count more. The two boys returned to Paris, and Albert told everyone about his adventures and the mysterious Count of Monte Cristo. On the morning that the Count was due to arrive at Albert's house, Albert invited some of his friends over for breakfast. His friends included Lucien Debray, secretary to the Minister of the Interior, Beauchamp, a journalist, and Maximilian Morel, now a captain in the French army. Maximilian was a hero who saved the life of Chateau Renaud on the anniversary of the day that his father was miraculously saved from ruin. When the Count of Monte Cristo arrived at Albert's house, all of the guests immediately liked the Count, but the Count seemed to like Maximilian more than anyone else. "Tell us one of the tales of you and Vampa," Albert said. "Well, one day I captured Vampa and all of his bandits. I let them go, but only after they promised never to hurt me or any of my friends," the Count said. After breakfast, Albert's friends all left, and Albert showed Edmund around the house. The two talked about science, literature, and art as they went. Albert showed Edmund a portrait of his mother. In the portrait, she was wearing the clothes of a fisherwoman and was staring sadly at the sea. "Why do you have this portrait?" Edmund asked. "Because my father hated it," Albert replied. "I will take you to meet them." The two men went to meet with Fernand and Mercedes. Fernand didn't recognize Edmund when Albert introduced them. but Mercedes knew who Edmund was straight away. Her heart was seized with terror at seeing the man she had loved and betrayed in front of her. When she was sure that Edmund wasn't listening, she whispered to Albert, "Beware of your new friend." Edmund didn't stay long with Albert, Fernand, and Mercedes, as he had things to do in Paris. He made his way from the Morcerfs' house to buy a summer house. It once belonged to Villefort's father-in-law, who had died not long after his daughter's wedding. While looking round his new home, his most faithful servant, Bertuccio, came rushing over to his master. "Why have you never told me about your family, Bertuccio?" Edmund asked. "Years ago, my brother was a soldier in Napoleon's army. He was killed by a man loyal to the king. I went to the public prosecutor in the city to ask for his help. His name was Villefort. He didn't care, and he sent me away. I swore I would have my revenge on him. Villefort ran away from me, but I followed him. He went to Versailles, but I found out that he came here to meet his mistress. I lay in wait here for him. I saw him burying a box. I surprised him and took the box. I thought it had treasure in it, but there was a baby inside it. It looked like it was dead, but I saved its life and took it to the hospital. When it was better, I took it home and raised him as my son. He was called Benedetto, and he was a cruel boy. When he got older, he disappeared and was never heard from again. I was smuggling and running from the police when he ran away. I hid in the loft of an inn that belonged to a man called Caderousse. He and his wife had been given a diamond and a jeweller came to buy it from them. The jeweller gave him 45,000 francs for the diamond. He was about to go home when there was a storm. In the night, Caderousse murdered the jeweller and his own wife. He kept the diamond and the money. The police arrested me for the murder. I told them it wasn't me and that Abbé Busoni had given Caderousse the diamond. The police looked for Busoni, and when they found him, he came to see me in prison. He told me that if I ever got out of prison, I should come to work for you. Not long after Caderousse admitted what he had done, I was set free, and Caderousse was sent to work at a camp for the rest of his life, Bertuccio explained. I see. What happened to Benedetto in all this? Edmund asked. He went to see my sister-in-law, his adopted mother. He tortured her for the small amount of money she had, and then he killed her, Bertuccio replied. I understand why you didn't tell me. I will think about what to do about Benedetto and Villefort. Haydée will be here soon. Is everything ready for her? Edmund asked. It is. I will be in the house, sir, Bertuccio said, and went into the house with Ali, the mute Nubian slave.